Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we have set aside our communion services to focus on the prayers of Paul. And this morning I'm not so much going to focus on one of Paul's prayers, but on what Paul said about prayer and how prayer can take us from anxiety to the peace of God. So we're going to talk about anxiety and the peace of God this morning. If you're a true Christian, God desires to reflect Himself through you to the world around you. He wants your faith and the practice of your faith to be a testimony to those that are watching your life. It's through the church that God wants to show the world that He is alive and that He has made a change in your life. And each one of us make up that church. So God wants us to be expressions of His life to those around us. And part of that is by showing that in times of great anxiety, that times of great stress, we express to the world around us the peace of God. As the world watches Christians go through difficult circumstances, it can be a great testimony to God's mercy, God's power, God's transformation that has taken place in our life. In the passage we read, we've got three Christian qualities emphasized. One is joy, one is gentleness, and the other one is the peace of God, which replaces anxiety. Joy and gentleness and peace are not natural qualities. They are fruits of the Spirit and expressions of God's life in us. They're expressions of faith, a faith in a sovereign and a mighty and majestic God. These Christian qualities are not rooted in the soil of positive thinking or self-effort, but in relation to a relationship with God and a faith and a following after God. These Christian qualities require repetitive giving of ourselves to God and action on our part. But that action is not to work the thing out ourselves, but rather actions which bring us to continue to trust in God. It's a lot of work to give our circumstances into God's hands and not to to put our hands upon them to spoil them. So that work is a work of entrusting ourselves into God in a deeper and deeper way, not to just achieve the goals that we want to try to achieve in those circumstances, but to let God work those circumstances out and to have His peace upon us in that process. This morning we're going to look at not the joy or the gentleness part, but the anxiety part. Anxiety leading to the peace of God upon our life. We don't have time to look at the whole passage. We'll just look at this one section. Actually, in this week's From the Pastor's Desk, I'm going to focus on this verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. There's so much in that one word, gentleness, and we're going to try to open that up a little bit more. So on Monday morning, you'll receive that on your computer. But for now, we're just going to focus on anxiety and the peace of God that overcomes that anxiety. Anxiety is increasing among God's people. And it should be the peace of God that's increasing among God's people in the midst of a world that is filled with anxiety and stress and difficulties that are coming on more and more in their life. God wants His children to live in His peace and not in anxiety. Anxiety is really a confession of unbelief. Anxiety is a loud admission that we're not trusting in God in those particular circumstances that we're in. And to some sense, anxiety is really sin and not faith in God. Anxiety is an overconcern with present and future circumstances. We can so much worry about our finances, our future, our health, our children, our jobs, and so many other things in this world that is just in upheaval around us, and anxiety is easy to fall into. But this scripture portion says we are not to worry about anything. Not just some things, but not to worry about anything. In the Greek text, it says this: nothing you be anxious about. Nothing is put as the very first word in the text. And usually the way the Greek is, you can order the words in any way you want. And often the emphatic word, the word that is the author wants to stress, the meaning that the author wants to stress, is made by putting the important word as first in the sentence. And the very first word in this sentence is nothing. Nothing you are to be anxious about. Nothing. I just want to say a couple of things about nothing. When God says to be anxious about nothing, He's thinking about real circumstances that we could be anxious about. He's not saying be anxious about nothing. So often we're anxious about circumstances that don't even exist. We begin to think about a situation, and then we speculate on how that situation can go. And, you know, somebody's late, and all of a sudden they're in an accident in our minds, and they're in the ditch someplace, and nobody can find them, and on and on. And we begin to worry about something that is absolutely non-existent. At least in this passage, what he's saying is don't worry about real circumstances, and certainly don't get all upset about circumstances that don't even exist and that you make up in your mind. And so often we create anxiety by imagining circumstances that are not even taking place. So he's speaking about real circumstances in this passage. I want to acknowledge too, as we look about this, there are certain temperaments that people have that are just fearful and anxious kind of temperaments. Other people are anxious because of traumatic experiences they had in their childhood. There are people, I know a couple personally, that because of a drug involvement, there's an anxiety that is permanently in their life. There's also anxiety that comes from traumatic incidents like post-traumatic stress disorder and things like that. So there's other things that create anxiety. And this passage is not talking about, you know, get rid of your anxious temperament, get rid of your fearful temperament, get rid of the trauma that was caused through childhood or through drug abuse or through some other traumatic incident that took place in your life. There are other scriptures that relate to that. Timothy was a man who was very filled with fear and anxiety, and he was always encouraged to go forth in faith. There are others who have undergone traumatic incidents, and through faith they can work those things out. But this passage is talking about circumstances where we can be anxious in them, and we are to follow the procedure in this verse and take that anxiety and bring it to a place where God's peace is overruling in our life. So I just wanted to mention there's other anxieties here that are not necessarily talked about in this verse. To be anxious, to not be anxious as well in this verse doesn't mean just, you know, forget about it and have no concern about the situation. Just ignore it. Pretend it isn't there. You know, go into denial. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse doesn't say, well, don't take those circumstances seriously. Don't think about them. That's not what this verse is saying either. This verse isn't saying, well, don't try to work the situation out and try to solve some of the difficulties that are coming up. This verse is saying, take the anxiety, look at it seriously, go through the feelings that are part of that, but bring it to a place where God's peace is eventually ruling in your life. Okay. Nothing is to make us or keep us in anxiety, I guess you could say, not necessarily make us anxious, but nothing is to keep us in anxiety as Christians who are trusting in God. What we are to do is to take every circumstance that causes us worry and anxiety and take them to God in prayer and petition. That's what this verse says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. As we come to God in prayer and petition, we are to take the anxiety that is stressing us out and just taking over our emotions, and we are to transfer that anxiety in prayer onto God's shoulders and into God's hands. Through prayer, we transfer our circumstances into the hands of God, and we make a commitment to trust God in those circumstances and not to worry about the outcome. The word prayer here is a general word. It basically just describes the attitude that we are to come to God in. We are to come to God with an attitude of reverence and devotion. And petition means to make specific requests to God in prayer. We're to come to God and make the circumstances that we're anxious over known to Him, and our anxiety known to Him, and transfer that anxiety into His hands and put it in His lap and leave it there and say, that's your problem, God, not mine. I'm your child. I'm giving that to you. Show me what responses I might need to make in this situation, but I am no longer going to get stressed out and be anxious in that situation. To prayer and petition, we are to add thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving here is not just tacking on at the end of the prayer, praise the Lord. Prayer, thanksgiving, I think, here has a very important portion in the verse. I think it tells us something very important. Here, thanksgiving certifies that a transfer of strength and resources has indeed taken place. This thank you is kind of the signing of a contract. Okay, God, these are now belong to you, and I'm taking your peace as my part of the contract, and I'm walking away, and I'm leaving it in your hands to take care of. So thanksgiving here is really a decision to choose to let God's strength and God's sovereignty and God's love and God's wisdom work out these circumstances, and we are not to carry them and work them out in our own strength. The implication here is that because God is now in charge of the circumstances and all the resources of heaven are working in those circumstances, that we no longer need to be anxious about those circumstances. Not necessarily unconcerned, but not no longer anxious over those circumstances. Thanksgiving here too is also a commitment of faith to trust in God and to let God provide and protect in those circumstances. So thanksgiving here is really an important element. It's saying, God, I am indeed giving these things to you. I'm not just mentioning them to you, but I'm going to take care of them of myself. I'm transferring this into your hands, and I'm leaving them in your hands. Thanksgiving, I think, here is also an acknowledging that you will accept the outcomes of the circumstances as God works them out. Thanksgiving is saying that however it turns out, whether it's joyful or with grief, whether it's according to your will or according to a will that God has in that particular situation, that in trusting the goodness and the mercy of God, you are leaving it, the outcomes, in His hands. So thanksgiving is saying, God, these are your circumstances. You've allowed them to come into my life. I'm going to trust you to work them out in your way, in your strength, in your timing, in your purposes, and I'm not going to get stressed out and just destroy myself and be all in knots over this particular situation. I'm going to let you be my Father, my God, my Shepherd in these circumstances, and I'm looking to you to do it. If we've made our request known to God and have received His resources and transferred our dependence to God and acknowledged our willingness to leave the outcomes in God's hands, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is a military term. It describes soldiers that surround a city and protect that city from attack. And so God will protect our heart and our mind from the attacks of anxiety as we give the circumstances and our anxiety into His hands and trust Him to work out the circumstances and the situation and by faith let Him take care of the situation. This is not peace with God, which Romans 5:1 talks about, which is the peace we have with God because our sins are paid for and we're reconciled to God. This is talking about the peace of God. It's an experience of God's peace. It's a rest. It's an assurance that we have in God. God's peace is our present circumstances. And it says here, this goes beyond logic and beyond rational understanding. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where there should be anxiety and fretting over the situation, where the non-Christian is getting all bent out of shape because of the circumstances, the peace of God envelops us, and we walk, in a sense, beyond the logical response and the logical circumstances, the logical response that the circumstances call for. Where worry and anxiety and fretting should be the normal behavior, the Christian is walking in God's peace. Where you know you should be falling apart and overreacting and feeling stressed out under the circumstances, there's this unexplainable peace of God that is there. If you're anxious about something and you take it to God in prayer, and the calm of God does not fill your heart and your mind, then likely you're still determined to work out those circumstances yourself through your own resources. You feel that being anxious and stressed is adding to the working out of that situation, and you're not really trusting God in that situation. What you need to do is to take it to God over and over and over again until His peace indeed does guard your heart and your mind from the anxiety that is there. Like Jesus, who struggled in great stress, praying three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, until he could finally say, "Not my will, but yours be done," and got up filled with the peace of God. So we need to struggle, in a sense, with giving this anxiety into God's hands until we reach that point of the peace of God, filling and flooding and moving and guiding our life. A peace that is transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. With God's peace filling your heart and mind, you might actually start to feel guilty because you're so calm under the circumstances. I shouldn't be this peaceful. I should be reacting in some fashion like the world reacts. And there might be the sense of maybe I'm not feeling through this thing like I should be feeling through it. Maybe I'm denying what's really going on. But the peace of God, nevertheless, overcomes us. So we should accept God's peace and not feel guilty about having God's peace when we're going through a difficult situation. After we've given the anxiety to God and His peace that goes beyond understanding has flooded our hearts, we shouldn't feel guilty about walking in the peace of God, but rather we should accept it as God's response to our faith of putting our trust in Him. Others who do not understand the peace of God may accuse us of not caring in the circumstances because we're not filled with stress and anxiety and worry like they are. You just have to say, well, I am walking in God's peace. They say, well, you're just walking in denial. You're walking in a dream world. Well, no, I'm walking in the peace of God. And again, we have to just accept that. Some people will think we're just not caring. We're not walking in the way we should. Be willing to let the circumstances work out under the hand of God as you walk in God's peace in that particular situation. The important factor in changing anxiety to peace is faith. These verses are about faith. Faith that takes what we have and puts it into God's sovereign, loving hands and then leaves it there for God to work out according to His purposes. Through prayer, we approach God, and through petition, we present to God our anxiety and the circumstances that cause that anxiety. Through thanksgiving, we look to God's strength and wisdom. We relinquish our own strength and choices in the circumstances. We leave the outcomes into God's hands. And through thanksgiving, allow God to work out those circumstances according to His will and pleasure. God replaces our anxiety with His peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. One last thought here before we close. We may have to give an anxious situation over and over and over and over again into God's hands until we learn to live more naturally in the peace of God. I like what James McDonald, who is a very descriptive preacher, says about this particular situation. I heard him speaking at a retreat. We were there for 3 days, and he gave this example. And he said, so often I have my anxieties, and I take them all, and I put them in a bag, and I tie them up, and then I bring them to the cross, and I lay them at the feet of Jesus, and then I turn around, and within a couple of minutes, I find the bag is back in my pocket again. And what he's saying is that we keep taking things back. We give them to God, but we take them back. I need to worry about this. I need to work this out. I need to, and say, well, no, you know, and then you got to take it and put it back into God's hands and then try to run away. Find it in your pocket again and put it back at the cross. And put it back at the cross until the peace of God becomes the more natural element of your walking, and you learn to, in faith, relinquish that anxiety and put it at the cross, at the foot of the cross. Through thanksgiving, we continue to give everything back into God's hands. It's hard for us to trust God and to just rest in God's peace. We want to take control of the circumstances. We want to worry and be anxious over our circumstances, as if anxiety is doing something to solve the situation. So often we give our anxiety and circumstances to God and then take them right back again. We need to keep going back to God, back to prayer, back to petition, back to thanksgiving, back over and over again until that anxiety is left in God's hands and we walk away and walk in His peace and rest and faith. This passage closes in verses 8 and 9. We won't spend much time on there, but it talks about where we put our thoughts. And so often we put our thoughts back on that anxiety over and over again. This says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we need to refocus our thinking away from these anxieties and anxious things and speculations and imaginations and focus them on the truth of God and rethink according to scriptural perspectives and not according to our own perspective. And then verse 9, it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to put our Christian life into practice, and we will walk under the peace of God. So as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I pray that we may discover afresh that we can truly trust God to take care of us in all our circumstances, and that we might exchange our anxiety for the peace of God. He has taken care of our sin. We believe that. We're trusting Him for that, to take us into eternity. Why can't we trust Him with the everyday circumstances of life as well? And let Him flood us with His peace and not just walk around in our anxiety and in our stress and in the struggles, when God promises us His peace, when we roll those things into His lap and leave them there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.